Father, I thank you, Lord, for the word of God that we are sharing and will be hearing today. We thank you. Thank you because your word is forever settled in heaven. Let it also be settled in our hearts. And as always, Lord, we declare that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. We want that light, Lord. And we pray, Lord, do something new in our lives. Let us experience something new. Give you, Lord, the glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Well, yesterday we introduced this lesson on, you know, wanting to experience something new from the Lord. It's like a prayer. But we covered the stories of many in the Bible that experienced grace and favor with the Lord, but also wanted something new. And how also that God responded in many cases. And people who also experienced things that were uncommon and things that were new for their time. You know, so today we're going to continue that lesson. We're also going to talk about, you know, how to bring this, you know, into our daily lives. How do we look for something new every day from the Lord? You know, right away we know that, you know, God loves to do new things. A couple of lead-off scriptures that are the text behind this lesson. The first one is in Isaiah 42 and verse 9. And the Lord is saying, you know, some things have already come to pass, but we should look for new things. Isn't that beautiful? I mean, God is never done in terms of, you know, creating stuff. Always wanting to bring new things forth. Behold, the former things have come to pass. That means former things already happened. And new things do I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. And God always likes to foretell what he is going to do. Now here he's telling us that he's going to do new things for us. Because of that, we are also enjoined to sing unto the Lord a new song. And his praise from the end of the earth. Praise the Lord. So that's one scripture that is central to this message. The Lord said, old things have already come to pass, but new things I am declaring for you. And I'll tell you about them too before they actually happen. Praise the Lord. So that's one scripture right there. The other one that's also central to this lesson is Isaiah 43 verses 18 and 19. Again, in this place, the Lord is also talking about new things. He said, remember ye not the former things, neither even consider the things of old. You know, I mean, don't sit in the old. Don't remain in the past. Now, those things of old could have been good or not so good. Could have been successes or failures, whatever they were. The Lord is saying, I'm going to do a new thing. Now, if they were good things in the past, well, we can praise the Lord for them. If they were not so good, perhaps, you know, disappointments, failures, and rejection, and all kinds of negative things, you know, we can learn from those situations and glean wisdom. Now, but the Lord now says, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? In the previous verse, he said, I will declare them to you. Now he says, shall you not know it? I'm going to tell you. I will even make a way in the wilderness. Now that's new. And usually in the wilderness, there's no way. And nobody makes a way in the wilderness. It's just a wilderness. It can be desert. It can be sand. It can be, there is no path through it. You know, you just wander around, hope that you don't get lost. But the Lord said, I will even, make a way. And that's something that's unexpected, that nobody expects to happen. I'll do that. And cause rivers to come forth in the desert. Nobody finds any rivers in the deserts usually. But the Lord said, I can do that. And so these are new things that the Lord promised for us. And we talked about, God doing new things clear unto the book of Revelation. Even at the end, in Revelation chapter 21, the Lord is still talking about doing new things. And what does he say in Revelation 21? He said, well, I'm going to make a new heaven and a new earth. We started from Genesis 1 was where we heard about God creating heaven and earth. Well, almost at the end of the book, he's saying, well, I'm going to create a new heaven and a new earth. So we see that, the acts of God are continuous. God is always doing something new. What does that mean for us? What does it mean for us? Well, we're going to look at that in the light of our own world and our own lives and see how that may apply to us. But we also gave some stories about some people in the scriptures that experienced, outstanding things, unusual things. We talked about Enoch. We talked about Noah. We talked about, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel, and even Moses, Elijah, disciples of Jesus, Philip, Peter, and Jesus himself. Talked about some of these folks. In the case of Moses, was a great example of wanting more from the Lord, no matter what we have experienced. And Moses was someone that I experienced tremendous experiences with God. Seen tremendous things. He saw the burning bush, heard the voice of God in Exodus chapter 3. God sent him down to Egypt. Tremendous miracles, signs and wonders. Brought the people of God out with a mighty hand. They went through the Red Sea. Powerful miracles. That had never been heard of, some of them. And yet, finally, he was still longing for more of God. He would say to God in Exodus 33, Lord, teach me thy way that I may know thee. And then he would pray and say, Lord, show me thy glory. And I wondered, I said, do you mean that all that stuff that he went through, he wasn't considering that enough glory? Why would he want more? He's already, experienced stuff that nobody else has even come close. The children of Israel said, we can't do that. We can't hear the voice of God. You go here and come tell us. And he went to hear, and the glory of God was so much upon him, his face lit up, and he came out talking to God. The people couldn't even look at the brightness that was on his face. They had to put a veil. And yet he said, pray this prayer in Exodus chapter 33. It was asking, Lord, he said, go with us, and if you're not going with us, then don't take us thence. But if I found grace in your sight, then do this thing, you know, and so forth. And the Lord said, I will do this thing that you have spoken, because you have found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And then he said, now this is Exodus chapter 33. Listen to this in verse 18. And Moses said, I beseech you, Lord, show me thy glory. Now you look at that and said, wow, from a man that has experienced so much glory, that even the glory of God was literally shining all over his face, yet he was still asking to see God's glory. Well, that's something new. He wanted something new. He wanted more, you know. And the Lord said, well, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord to you. And we talked about a man called Gideon, who wasn't satisfied with the status quo. Status quo means, you know, the way things are, or the way things were, you know, he wasn't satisfied. He wanted something. Even though he got a great salutation from the angel, called him a man of valor and told him the Lord was with him, Gideon's answer was, well, I don't know. It doesn't look like it. It looks like actually the Lord's forsaking us. I want to experience those same miracles that our fathers have been telling us about. We've heard the stories, but we haven't seen the moving of God. You know, and where are all those miracles? If you say the Lord be with us, then, you know, let the Lord show forth these things that we were told that he did in the past. Now that's somebody that wasn't satisfied with the status quo. And people experienced different things. Enoch, you know, he sought after God, and he experienced something that nobody in his time experienced, that he could leave the earth without seeing death. It was powerful. But this was because of the quest, the hunger, the thirst, the questions that were in their minds, the pursuit. And they walked with God and wanted to know more about God. And we talked about many things that many people experienced, no matter what they were, had already experienced. There was always opportunity to experience more. But here is a scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 2. It says, if any man thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. Which means when we come to God, or when it comes to our relationship and are walking with God, put aside your knowledge of what you think you already know. That's right. You know, just humble yourself as though you knew nothing, so that you can get more. Praise the Lord. You know, and God's always doing new things, you know, and he will show us greater mighty things. He told Jeremiah 33 and verse 3, he said, call unto me and I will show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Now this man, Jeremiah, from his youth, you know, he had been walking with God. God told him when he was a young man that I knew you from the womb. I ordained you to be a prophet to the nations, to do this, to do that. And then God gave him power, and God was using him mightily. But the Lord was still telling him, you know, call unto me and I will show you great and mighty things which you don't know. Not yet, at least, but I can show you more. Abraham was a man, God had called him and started to walk with God when he was about 75 years old, and for almost 24 or so years, he was walking with God. And then when he was about 99 years old, he's been walking with God for two dozen years, the Lord approached him, or the Lord visited him and said unto him, Abraham, you know, walk thou before me, right? And be thou perfect. Genesis chapter 17 and verse 1. I am Almighty God, he told him. I mean, he had been walking with God, you know, and all of that. God even handpicked him. You know, in Genesis 11, when we saw that the people of the world at that time was trying to make a name for themselves and build something great to heaven, God scattered them, but he handpicked Abraham to put a blessing on him. And he said, I will bless you, I will multiply you, and so on and so forth. I will make you great. And, you know, God told him tremendous things, tremendous promises and different things. And how his seed was going to, you know, be like the sands of the sea. How through him, all the nations of the world will be blessed and so many things. But 24 years into his walk with God, God came and demanded. See, the Lord always has his demand on us. Walk thou before me and be thou perfect. That means, well, no matter where you are, there is still room for quote unquote improvement or elevation or higher heights or new things. And that's what we're talking about. You know, so how do we approach this in our lives? Knowing that, you know, the scripture says that God wants to do new things. I will do a new thing. And will you not know it? I will even do all these things, like make a way in the wilderness, make rivers in the desert, open the eyes of the blind, cause them to see light that I've not seen light. You know, if a person was born blind and had never seen light, and suddenly if they saw light, that was going to be a new thing. And the Lord said, look, I'll make the crooked places straight for the blind man that is seeing light for the first time. Things appear crooked, you know. It's like, you know, they can't tell whether it's a tree or a person they are seeing or whatever. You know, the Lord said, I'll make all that straight. Glory to God. And you can take that literally for situations that are not working right in our lives. You can look at even lives that are broken. God can put them back. You know, we talked about the story that God told Jeremiah to go experience in Jeremiah 18. Sent him down to the potter's house. And Jeremiah got there, found the potter doing his thing. But the clay that the potter was working with, we're told, was marred in the hands of the potter. That means it was messed up, bent out of shape, or whatever. You know, it didn't conform to the design that the potter had in mind. So he made it again to a new lump, even as he pleased him to do so. And so we see that, and God told Jeremiah there, that look, can I not do with the house of Israel this thing that the potter has done with the clay? So that means, well, God can take what's broken, what's non-conforming, and fix it. But we got to let him. This was the thing that was in God's mind. Say, look, why won't you let me help you? I can fix this. He told them, O house of Israel, don't you know I can fix this just like the potter? Just fix this clay. I can do it too. You know, so now, let us remember that this journey that we are on, everybody's journey is different. You know, our journeys are different and the experiences will be different. It's a unique journey that everybody will have. But in that journey, it can be a journey of discovery. I mean, you can discover multiple things. One day, Jesus said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, he said, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And I often translate that into saying, well, being born again is the door or the portal into the kingdom. That's pretty much what Jesus said. You know, so when you are born again, you'll just pass through the door to come into the kingdom. Now, when you are in the kingdom, you've got to do some discoveries. Hallelujah. So, discoveries. That's what we must do. Now that we are in the kingdom, what are the things that God will still have us know? Spiritual things and even physical things that we can experience in our lives. No matter where we've been, you know, we can go higher with the Lord. We can get more from the Lord. We can experience more. There were many things that Gideon wanted to experience. New things. In fact, when he was trying to confirm that this word that he was hearing was something the Lord actually meant for him, he would do the fleece thing, as we know the story. He brought fleece, which is kind of like something like cotton wool, and said, well, I'm going to do this thing. You know, let me see. If it is the Lord speaking with me, and if by my hands he will really deliver Israel out of the hand of the Midianites, then let this, I'll put this thing here overnight. You know, when it rains, you know, let these, ground around this thing be dry, and let only this thing be wet. You know, maybe it wasn't rain, maybe it was dew, maybe it was mist, whatever. He got up in the morning and it was so. The ground around it was dry, but the thing was wet. Now, nothing strange about that. Because, I mean, if you put a piece of cotton wool around, you know, something that's damp, it might soak up all the water and the place around it may be dry and the thing may be wet. So Gideon said, okay, well, that's cool, but let me see something new, something that doesn't happen. That's something new. Well, this time around, when I wake up, I want all the ground around it to be wet, soaking wet, and this thing that is supposed to soak up the water, let it be dry. That's a new thing. How do you put cotton wool in the midst of water and the thing is still dry and the water is there? That doesn't happen. That was what Gideon wanted. That was something new, but he got it too. The Lord was merciful and the Lord was patient with him. And he got it, you know, and we can experience, you know, you can experience things. God instructed us, admonished us, even commanded, if you wanted to call it that, Isaiah 45:11, ask me of things to come concerning the works of my hands, commanding me things to come concerning my sons. You know, what do you want? You know, God was always, you know, admonishing us to do these things, you know, come to the Lord boldly and ask, you know, ask of me. He even said rain in the time of the latter rain and the Lord will make bright clouds, you know, and give rain to everyone grass in the field. I mean, these are things that the Lord promised us, and he can do it too. Let's look at some new things that the Lord is constantly doing. I want to read a portion of Psalm 104 to us, for us to see that God is constantly doing things. You know, some of us may not think of it this way. We have read about the creation, the book of Genesis, and it appears as if, well, you know, God finished his works and he rested. I guarantee you, God is constantly doing stuff. So let's read a little portion of Psalm 104. It says, O Lord, how manifold are thy works? This is verse 24 of Psalm 104. In wisdom thou hast made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. So this man is going to take a look at some area where the riches of God are mysteries and deep things. So he looked at the sea. He said, so is this great and wide sea, wherein are things creeping, innumerable, both small and great beasts. There's all kinds of things in this sea. He was looking at the sea. He said, well, there go the ships. There's also this Leviathan, whom thou hast made the play therein. I mean, there's all these creatures. These all wait upon thee, that thou mayest give them their meat in due season. Now listen to this. You know, whatever you give them, they gather. Thou openest thy hand, they are filled with good, right? When you hide your face, they are troubled. You take away their bread, they die and return to their dust. Now, see, that's a cycle. And then thou sendest forth thy spirit again, and they are created. Now, this is not the creation in Genesis. This is new stuff that God is constantly doing. These things, he's looking, he's imagining this, and the Lord is showing me things. And you renew the face of the earth. They're always doing it. When things perish, the Spirit of God moves over again. They are created again. There's a cycle that's constantly going. You know, many things that the Lord is creating that's out there that we don't even understand. Nobody can get to the end of the galaxy. They can't get to it. I mean, there's, you know, many constellations, many things. Nobody can figure it out. Because things are constant. To the increase of his kingdom, there shall be no end. It's constantly increasing. He's constantly doing stuff. And our life can be like that too. You know, our life should not be stagnant in that we, you know, the only things that we experience are the things that we've experienced before. You know, nothing new happening, you know, nothing going on that's, you know, exciting. It's kind of like dull and a drag sometimes. But no, that's not the way that the Lord intended it. Listen to this that was said about Christ in Isaiah chapter 9. He said, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Isaiah 9 and 7. So it's always increasing. Something always happening in the kingdom. You know, there are many things that we can experience in life. We go through cycles of sometimes people are, you know, repressed, depressed, rejected, and feel all alone and everything. But there is, even when our lives, when we were in darkness and in sin, Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Romans 5 and 8, Christ died for us. That was God's love that he showed to us. He moved us from sin to through grace to become his children. I mean, it took away the condemnation and brought acceptance. And what we must, you know, pursue after is not where we've been, but where we've never been. Even as a church or a group, you know, a church or a group that sits on its oars and just not looking for new thing, they're not going to experience anything new. You know, it's not where the church has been, but where it hasn't been. Where can God take us? You know, where can we explore new frontiers, you know, in the spirit? Something that we've never experienced before. I mean, something new. God can do it every day. In fact, we're told that, you know, his mercies are new unto us every day. And what does that really mean? Well, Lamentation chapter 3 verse 22 says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Every morning. That means we can experience something new. Well, actually, every morning is already a new day. It is not the same as yesterday. And it was not the same as last week or last month or last year. It's a new day. So in a sense, even by nature, God is showing us that we can experience new things. Every day we wake up and we find ourselves in the land of the living. That's new. Because that day has never been. It's a new day. So in the same way, we can expand that to cover areas of our life. You know, when we, anytime we feel that, you know, we're kind of caught in a circle or nothing going on, we can look to the Lord for something new. Now, God has the power and He's always doing things all the time, but we in our lives may not be experiencing something new unless we are calling unto God. That's what He told Jeremiah. That verse we alluded to and I quoted from Jeremiah 33 and 3 says, call unto me and I will show you great and mighty things which you have not known. In other words, there are things out there that God wants to show, but He's not going to do it unless you call on Him. And God calls it great and mighty things. And yesterday I said, well, God doesn't call too many things great and mighty, but He did. So there are great and mighty things that I can show you, which you haven't known. But if you are not calling, I mean, there's a lot of things that God can do, but will not do. You know, unless there's a hunger in our hearts. It's not that He can't do it, but He just won't do it. That's the way the ordinances of God, that's the way they are. You know, we must call unto God. We must seek after Him. These are the things. We must look for new things. You know, now, it's a good prayer that we should pray out of that Jeremiah 33 and 3. Show me, Lord, things that I've never known. Let me experience, Lord, things that I cannot explain. That's miracle. I mean, that's the supernatural. Now, the supernatural to us, it's normal to God. You know, but since we're in this world, well, some of God's acts to us feel like they are supernatural. We can transcend from this low-level stuff and move higher. I mean, consider the chicken and the eagle. The chicken is always on the ground, scratching, looking, you know, trying to find something. Eagle doesn't do that. Eagle is flying high. And then it's got this vision that it can see, you know, miles. It can see stuff. And when he sees, then he's going to scoop down. Not there, just scratching. You know, God wants us not to be chickens, always scratching, 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 finding nothing, but eagles. Glory to God. Mount up with wings as eagles, He said. Now, show me things I cannot explain. Make me, Lord, into what I cannot become on my own. Now, these are prayers. I mean, we try things, even considering your career and your business in your whatever, you know, stuff that you cannot attain, you know, on your own, that is, God can put you there, put you over. I mean, it's the Lord. He taketh the beggars out of the dunghill to set them among princes. And we've talked about this story before in 2 Samuel chapter 9. You know, there was a man called Mephibosheth. He was of the sons of the king. His father was Jonathan, who was the son of Saul. And one day, finally, after David became king, he asked this question. Is there yet any man that is left of the house of Saul that I may do him some good, show him some kindness for Jonathan's sake? Now, we remember how Jonathan was good to David and did many things to save his life from the hand of Saul. And he was told that there was yet one man, and he was Mephibosheth. Someone had killed all the sons of Saul. This one escaped, but now the process of escaping and all these things, he was lame on his feet. And David sent and said, go fetch him. This man was living in a place called Lo Debar. And there is a story even in those names. There's always stories in everything. The Bible points those things out. Lo Debar means a place of nothing happening. A place of no light, a place of depression, a place of no hope. Nothing going on. I mean, no glimmer of hope even. That's where he lived. And that was the story of this more feeble shared life. Who had been or should have been or a prince, but he lost everything. Had to be hiding for his life. And when he came, something happened. That the man thought David was going to kill him because of all the evil that Saul did to David and tried to do. But David said, no. I want to show you the kindness of God. And something happened to that man. Now that was something new. That was something new. Because David fetched the man from Lo Debar, or had him fetched. He sought him out, brought him out, and commanded that this man set him a place among my princes. and put him there, and he's going to eat constantly at my table. That's right. All the rest of his life. Now that was something new. That was something that blew the mind. And this man who had nothing going for him was hiding for his life, who was at this time, this stage in his life, even crippled. And he thought his life was finished. Even when he appeared before David, he called himself a dead dog. David said, no, I'm going to change all of that. In one moment, the kindness of God changed all of that. Now, Anna wrote about these things. David himself even wrote about it. He said, the Lord lifted up the beggar out of the dunghill to set him among princes. Yea, among the princes of his own people. And that was literally what happened to this Mephibosheth. But he experienced something new. How can you come from a place called Lo Debar that is nothing happening, and then in one day you are on the king's table for the rest of your life? Now that was something new. There are a lot of people in the Bible that explain, that experience new things like that. Some people were in captivity. Usually people in captivity, they have nothing good going for them. They are slaves. But some people were in captivity, but they were experiencing something new all the time. When Daniel and some of his friends arrived in Babylon, immediately they experienced something new. They're supposed to be slaves. But one day the king would audition. He said, look, I'm looking for those who have the aptitude to learn. They're already knowledgeable in some things, but now they're going to learn the language of the Chaldeans and these things and so forth. We teach them the science, we can teach them these things and so forth. Look among them. Well, they were actually princes too, but they'd lost their princehood because now they're in captivity. But they experience something new. Even in captivity, the favor of God was still locating them. Daniel rose to great heights, even in captivity. He was favored. He understood dark sentences, and he rose to great heights, even in captivity. Esther was a slave girl, and she would experience something new. Yeah? God can change all of that. These people were not supposed to be slaves, but they became slaves. And God reversed that and promoted some of them to incredible heights. Esther, God orchestrated it. She became queen in the land, and she saved, just like Daniel. Daniel saved all the wise men that were in the kingdom and anywhere else. Because Nebuchadnezzar said, if you don't tell me the dream, you know, all of you, I'm going to have all of you killed. He said, well, how can we tell you your dream? You tell us the dream and we'll tell you the interpretation. Nobody asked this of anybody. This is not fair. I said, not fair. I am the king. And if you guys don't tell me, but it was a monarch. It was an absolute monarch, not just a king. It was an absolute monarch. A king. It was a king of kings. All the kingdoms of the world, God had given to his hand. If you don't tell me this thing, I'm going to have all of you killed. Daniel saved their lives, every one of them. Because Daniel besought the Lord. The Lord showed him this thing, and he gave the interpretation. And he saved not only himself, his friends, but everybody else. You know, and Esther also saved the Jews. From the hand of Haman, their would-be destroyer. On and on and on. People that God had, you know, lifted up from nothing. What about Joseph? You know, I mean, how do you go from being in prison in one day? You are in prison. And before that day is over, you are vice regent. I mean, you are, you know, prime minister. You are controlling the kingdom in the same day that you were just in prison. How do you do that? Well, that's something new. You know, God can take something new. Listen to this. Psalm 113. And verse 7, he raised up the poor out of the dust and lifted up the needy out of the dunghill. David saw that happen with Mephibosheth, and he's writing it here. That he may set him with princes, even with the princes of his people. He maketh even the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. This is what the Lord does. And we read many stories, or at least alluded to them. Incredible things that people did. And people experienced new things that had never been known before. Somebody like Mary experienced something new. Since the world began, had it not been heard of, you know, after Eve, you know, that a woman like that without a man, since Eve, that never happened. Even Eve herself, she was the mother of all living, but she needed Adam to do it. But this woman was going to be pregnant without a man. That's right. The angel told her, the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and the Holy Ghost is coming upon you and bring forth this new thing in your life. He said, well, how can it be? He said, well, you know, they explained it to her, and she believed it. And she experienced something new. Never been done, never will be done again. It was something new. It was a classic, you know, a colossal classic of all ages. But she experienced it. And, you know, it's all kinds of people. We talk about Enoch experiencing something that nobody else thought was possible, because everybody was waiting to die. And Enoch figured out a way that he wasn't going to die. Praise the Lord. And he's not dead yet till this day. You know, we talked about Noah. He was a man that had, you know, experienced something tremendous. By this time, the animals were already wild and everything. And Noah was able to command those animals, just like Adam did when he was in the glory. You know, but Romans 3:23 said, all I've seen, I'm falling short of that glory. Well, when that glory, when we lost that glory, everything became wild. Plants became wild. Animals became wild. All kinds of things were happening. They were good to begin with, because everything he made was good and beautiful. But Noah obtained favor from the Lord. And he was able to bring wild animals who would normally prey, the lion, the cheetah, all of these things, you know, they will normally prey on the deer and all these things. And he brought them all together, commanded all of them, you all behave yourselves now. Sit in the corner until I tell you it's time to come out for your meal. And they was like that for weeks. And you know, my goodness, that was something new. That he could experience that kind of thing. Well, what is the degree to which you can believe God? You know, there is something, some scripture that we always quote in Ephesians 3 and 20. And people quote this scripture all the time. You know, and here's what the scripture says. But let me point our attention to something that that scripture also says that we don't quote. We always say, well, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And we stop there. You know, say, well, God is able to do, if you can think it, God can do more, you know. And that's true, because that scripture says so. But that's not all that that scripture says. That scripture says that for you to experience those kinds of things, it is going to be according. You know, this is the part that you must remember next time you quote that scripture. It is going to be according to the level of the power that's in you. You know, if you cannot, you know, if you cannot fathom it, well, maybe God can't even do it for you. Not that he can't do it, but you might not experience it. You know, I've used the example of little kids to explain it. They can only think so much. Ask a little kid to count some numbers. If we tell them counting tens or counting hundreds, after a while, they stop. You know, and I play this game with my grandkids sometimes. They just stop. It's like, why are you stopping for? The number is either ended, but that's, they can't, they just can't go on because they can't think of it. You know, so they stop. And I was like, well, but there is more. Then I help them, give them a little hint of how to continue the counting. And they say, oh, then they count some more. And then they stop. You know, because yeah, that's the level of their imagination. And the little kid comes to ask you for money. They're not going to ask for $1 million. They don't even know what that is. And they ask you for a quarter. Because that's what they know. You know, someday they learn to ask for a dollar because now they know what a dollar is. You know, someday they learn to ask for $5, but that's what they know. But they don't know to ask for $10,000 because maybe they don't even know that. You know, but so it's according. Now, if they ask for a quarter, well, you are able to do more than a quarter, even exceedingly abundantly above the quarter. But you're not going to give them $1,000 when they're asking for a quarter. Maybe you give them 4 quarters, and that's exceeding abundantly above what they ask for. You know, but you can see, you know, it's according to the level. Now, so the more we learn about the things of God, and God was giving us a lesson in Job. Job 38 was telling Job many things. He asked him a question. Well, guard up yourself as a man. I'm going to ask you some questions. You think you know stuff? Well, tell me. And God was asking him things. Where were you when I did this? What is the length of this? What is the breadth of that? Upon what is this one, you know, hanging? You know, what is this one made of? Can you do this? Can you call this for? Can you do this? Can you do that? Asking so many things. And we found out that there's so much, you know, from that exchange between, Job and God, that there is so much that we don't know, you know, that the Lord can show us. It's kind of like this scripture I often quote in Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 14. It talks about, you know, at the end of the age, such as we are now, you know, what we're going to find out is that the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. So this knowledge of the glory of God, think of the expanse of the sea. Sometimes when you're out in the sea, you can't really see the end of it. You see something that looks like the horizon, but it's not. When you get there, it looks like it just keeps going. You know, the waters, they cover the sea. So that's the depth of the knowledge. Oh, the depth, both of the knowledge and the wisdom of God. Well, I say to people, discover, you know. Bring your vessels, not a few. Take from the ocean. Whatever you take, the ocean is still there. You bring a bucket, bring a barrel, bring a tanker, bring whatever. Come as many times you want. It's still there. There's still so much more. Show me, Lord, something new. You know, show me things that I cannot see. That's right. There are things we cannot see. God can show them to you. Jesus told the Laodiceans, he said, you can't see. You think you can, but you can't. You need to get this thing from me. I'll give you this eye drop. It's a special one. And you put it in your eyes, then you will see. Anoint your eyes with eyes of, then you will see. You know? And give you some kind of covering that will not make you naked. You think you are covered, but you're actually naked. You know? And Jesus began to tell them many things. Take me, Lord, to the places where I cannot reach. Well, that's something new. What you cannot reach, what you cannot accomplish, what you cannot see, what you cannot do, where you've never been. These are the things, that's something new, you know. But if all I experience every day is the same thing, then, you know, there's really nothing new there. That's what Gideon was challenging the angel about. He said, look, we haven't seen anything new for a long time. We've heard that the Lord used to do these things, but we have not experienced it. We only heard stories. And Gideon said, I don't want to live in somebody else's stories. I want to experience these things myself. If you say that I'm a mighty man of valor and you say the Lord is with me, then let me not dwell in somebody else's stories. I want them myself. Now, that's someone that will not settle for the status quo. Now, what is it that you want from the Lord? What is it, you know, that you want from the Lord? And when, you know, I tell people, I say, look, when you are on a roll with God, don't stop. Because if you stop, miracles might just stop. Elisha told a woman that cried unto him, said, well, my husband who loved the Lord is now dead. He was a breadwinner. And we don't have any finances. We can't pay our mortgage. Can't pay our bills that are left with us since the man died. And the creditors have come to take my two sons to go sell them so they can pay for some of this stuff. He cried unto the prophet. The man said, well, what is it you have in the house? He said, well, nothing. And well, think again, you got something. I said, well, okay. Yeah, I know. I have, you know, this pot of oil, but you know, what is it? Just a pot. Prophet said, it is enough. Here's what you're going to do. Go borrow, you know, more pots, empty pots, vessels, not a few, from all your friends and neighbors and bring them in. And when you're in, you know, so pour the oil into one, set it aside, pour again, and so on. So, really say, yeah, just go do it. So she went, told her boys, hey, go to all our neighbors, borrow anything you can have that can contain something. Tell them we'll bring them back in a little bit. So they went. They borrowed. She did like the man of God said. Said, don't bring me all these vessels at once. Just bring me one at a time. You got to follow the instruction, though. And God gives you strategy, you got to follow it. So, they brought her one pot. She pours oil into it. And that pot could normally have contained all the oil that she was pouring. But as she poured the oil, the pot was filled. And looks like the oil still remains. Oh my goodness. Bring me another pot. And now she's excited. They bring her another pot. She pours all the oil. My goodness, what is this thing? And, you know, she keeps asking. And is setting the pots aside as they are full. And this same oil that could not even have filled one pot has now filled maybe 20, 30, 40, 50 pots. We don't know. And she keeps pouring and keeps filling. So finally she says, bring me another pot. And they say, there are no more pots. We've exhausted all the pots. And then, see, the oil heard that. See, and the oil stayed. That's it. There's nothing else flowing. I mean, there's nothing else for me to go into. It stopped. Now, so I tell people, when you're on a roll with God, don't stop. Because if you stop, you know, then all of a sudden, you know, the miracles will dry up. Has your oil stayed? Or is it still flowing? When it's flowing, that's new stuff. When it stayed, that's old. You know? Another one, you know, this same Elisha, one time he was dying. You know? One of the kings came to him and said, look, this and that and so forth, you know, we need help. Our enemies, what's your last words? You know, I said, well, take arrows and shoot. So the man took arrow. The prophet actually put his hands on his hand, tried to guide him, tell him what to do. The man took arrows and he looked out the window and he shot 3 times or so and he stopped. And the prophet said, why did you stop? Well, he said, well, I don't know. Because you said I should take arrows and shoot. And I did take arrows and I shot. You know, wow. And the prophet said, well, you should not have shot only 3 times and then stopped. You can read that story in 2 Kings 13. So, well, now that you stopped, the 3 times you shot your arrows represented 3 times you will get victory over your enemies. You could have shot 5, 6, or 7, or 8 times, and the Lord could have given you even more victories. So because you stopped, that's it. Well, and the king, you couldn't go back and do it again, you know. So he lost that opportunity. So when you are on a roll with God, you know, keep on believing. The oil can keep running or the oil can be stayed. Which one is it going to be? You keep bringing more pots. If that lady kept bringing, her sons kept bringing her pots, the oil will continue to flow. The oil only stopped when there wasn't any more, you know, need to fill out another pot. Same thing with Jesus and the multitudes that he was, you know, going to ask the disciples to feed. Started with just a little boy's lunch. I blessed the thing, put it back in their hands, and they were feeding the people. Give them a strategy. It's always strategy. Set them in 50s. You got to keep believing. After that first 50, you got to believe for the next 50. And so they were doing it, and the bread was multiplying in the hands of Peter, James, John, you know, Philip, the rest of them. Bread wasn't exactly multiplying in the hands of Jesus, but he put a blessing on it and just walked away. And I put it in the hands of the disciples. And they had, you know, they were experiencing this powerful miracle. But they had to keep believing. And the bread stopped multiplying only when they had fed everybody. And there was no more to feed. And then the multiplication stopped. As long as there was yet another company of 50, Jesus did it that way so they could keep believing. There would, you know, the bread will keep multiplying. The fish will keep multiplying. So, oh my goodness, what is this thing? Jesus wanted to show them something. But he just did it. He prayed, you know, a blessing. Father, I thank you for this. That's it. And he put it in the hands of the disciples and just walked away. He didn't even look back because he knew it was done. And now the disciples had to take it and run with it. You know, so, but they had to keep believing and they could have the experience. And they'd never seen anything quite like it. There were a lot of things Jesus kept showing them that they had never seen. They've seen Jesus wake somebody up that was freshly dead and things like that. They've seen Jesus heal somebody with fever and all of that. And they've seen Jesus cast out devils and so on. They've never seen Jesus call somebody out of the grave. And they've seen him when they was, you know, carrying somebody in a casket to go bury him and cut them out of there. Well, so Jesus was going to let them see something new. The story of Lazarus, he said, well, I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there. Because now you're going to see something new. That's something new. Yeah, I don't know. What is he going to show us this time? But Jesus, you know, waited, the man died. They buried him and all. And then Jesus showed up and is going to call this man out of the grave. Everybody's going to see it. They've never seen it before. Nobody ever seen such a thing. But they are going to see it now. So Jesus wanted to show it to disciples that the Son of Man has power, not only to get them out of the casket, not only to raise them up when they are freshly dead, but to call them out of the grave no matter how long they've been there. Glory to God. And he showed them that thing. That was something new. Something they never seen before. Praise the Lord. You know, the miracles that we can experience in our lives from day to day, that can be something new. How do we do it though? You know, well, Jesus told many parables and many lessons. He said, you know, one of the things is, well, if you have something called new oil or fresh oil, where do you put it? If your vessel is old, well, you run the risk if you pour that new oil into that old vessel, because you run the risk, right? The risk that you run is the old vessel may burst open and the oil will spill and you lose everything. So, no, I said, nobody puts new oil in old wine bottles. This story is in a couple of places in the Synoptic Gospels. It's in Matthew chapter 9, verse 17. It's also in Luke chapter 5, you know, verses 37, 38, and so on. Let's read Matthew chapter 9 and verse 17, where Jesus, now we're, you know, bringing this down to reality now. You know, these are the ways to experience new things, you know. So if I want to experience something new, like fresh oil, new things, and so forth from the Lord, well, he said, no man putteth a piece of new cloth on an old garment, starting at verse 16. Because if you do that, well, he said, that new cloth would take from the old and make the rent to be worse. You know, what you are trying to fix will be worse when you try to patch it up like that. It's not going to work. People didn't understand that. So, well, he told them yet something else. Neither do men put new wine in old bottles. Or else, you run the risk that the bottles will break and the wine will spill and the bottles will perish and the wine, everything will be perished. He said, but what do you do then? He said, well, you find new bottles and you put the new wine in the new bottles and both are preserved. I said, well, what do these things mean? Well, it's really very simple. The things of God, the things that Jesus came to introduce, many of them were new stuff. He would say things like, you have heard it said of old time that you should not do this or you shall do it that way. And he said, well, I tell you something new, lifted up the standard, or something new. In old days, they told you, love your friends, hate your enemies, an eye for an eye, and all of these things. Jesus said, well, now I tell you something new. Do it this way. So, wow. Yeah. So, and then sometimes, you know, some of the old stuff, we got to get rid of it. They said, well, you know, can we put away our wives? And they didn't even like their wives anyway. They wanted to put them away anyway. So we're always looking for a reason. Can we put away our wives for any reason? They said. Jesus said, no. He said, well, if that's the case, why then did Moses command that we can give them a bill of divorcement and send them away? You can read that in Matthew chapter 19. Jesus said, well, in the beginning, he who created them, it was not his intention that they should be put asunder. He said, but the hardness of your hearts caused Moses to say that to you, but it wasn't perfect. I tell you now, don't do it. And he was always raising the standard. Well, let's talk about new wine. Glory to God. There's new wine and new revelation, new things coming from God. The other day we talked about the present truth. We're talking about the truth. Buy the truth and sell it not. The present truth is what God has revealed up to you now. Well, sometimes the present truth cannot fit in old bottles. Sometimes you got to shake those bottles, you know, get new ones because they don't fit. You know, square peg in round hole or round peg in square hole, however they say, sometimes they just don't fit. You know, and some of us grew up with traditions and cultures and dogmas and creeds and, you know, some of the church teachings have not actually been accurate. They have not always been the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. There have been some leaven mixed up in it. But when new truth comes, sometimes you have to unlearn the old stuff. And that's difficult for people at times. And unlearn the old stuff. You know, sometimes God will take people through experience. There was some old stuff that Moses had to unlearn when he fled from Egypt. All the Egyptian ways and different things and so forth. And God had to get him out of his system. God waited 40 years. It took him to get him out of that, get it out of his system. And one day when God felt that, yeah, this man is ready, he appeared to him. But it took him a long time. It took God 40 years to try to get all that stuff out of Moses' system. Bring him into a place where he could receive new stuff from the Lord. You know, now there may be some stuff. We've talked about our belief systems, which may be preventing us from learning the truth, the real truth, and nothing but the truth. And, you know, but sometimes you got to get rid of those old systems, old belief systems that are not working. Like they're like old bottles. You got new wine. You can't put them in those old wineskins, you know. So, you know, that's one lesson to consider in spiritual things. You know, make me new, Lord, again. You know, when the Lord looked at the potter and the clay, he said, well, can I not do the same thing? Well, okay, so, you know, we are the clay. The Lord is the potter. And, you know, something's happened that's made us to be marred in his hands, bent out of shape, and the Lord is fixing to do something new. Well, he can do it in every area, spiritually. We got to cleanse out some stuff. Second Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1 says, you know, there's some stuff you got to cleanse. When God's giving you, you know, he said, you know, these precious promises of new things that he's going to do. I will do a new thing. I will make all things new. Said that in Revelation 21 verse 5. Behold, I make all things new. Well, Elijah's making things new. Well, he said, there are some things you got to cleanse. 2 Corinthians 7 and 1 say, you got to cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the spirit and flesh. We got to perfect holiness in the fear of the Lord. These are things, you know, that we must do. Otherwise, it'd be like trying to put this new stuff in old wineskins. It may last for a while then, but the wineskins may bust or the, you know, the bottles may burst open and, you know, then all of a sudden you lose everything. So Jesus said, well, you can't do that. You know, I'm going to leave it to your imagination. The areas where you need something new in your life. Well, you know what you're dealing with. There may be reconstruction of things that God will have to do. God knows how to put the pieces back together. Showed it to Jeremiah and the potter's house. You know, there may be other things too. And even you know, something may not be broken, but it may be stagnant. Well, you can experience something new too for that. Not where you've been, but where you've never been. Think of it that way. You know, places where you've never been. Exploring and experiencing new frontiers in the spirit. God told Abraham one time, Genesis 13, he said, look, I want you to come out here and see something. And this was after Lot had separated from him. You know the story, we've told it. And he came out there, Genesis 13 and 14. And Lot said, you know, come out here. You know, come here where you have a plain line of sight. So he saw the plains ahead of him. And Lot said, okay, fine. Said, I want you to look all around you. You know, whatever you can see, look this way, look that way, look east, west, north, south, and so forth. Whatever you can see is what I'm going to give you. Now, at this point, Abraham is thinking, well, what can I see? I can only see those, you know, this far. Well, God said, well, see more, get more. See more, get more. See, this is how visionaries are born. I mean, with this kind of thing. They see more. They're not satisfied. All the inventions we have, whether it's electricity, whether it's a telephone, whether it's flying, and people start with little things, but they see that we can do these things. You know, we can do these things. And they're not satisfied with it. They try, they fail. They try, they fail. They try, they fail. But they see we can do this. We can do this. Enoch, I mean, I keep saying Enoch, you know, anytime I want to say Noah, I always said Enoch. Even yesterday, I listened to a replay, so I was saying Enoch when I meant to say Noah. Noah, it took him 120 years to build that ark, get it right. Well, maybe he tried and didn't work and tried try again, didn't work, tried again, didn't work, but you gotta get it right. This is how stuff, you know, any stuff that lasts, it doesn't just happen overnight. There's a lot that goes into it, you know. And that's the same way we must be in our lives. Just because you tried something new and didn't work, the devil comes to you and says, see, you can't do that. That doesn't work. You better give up. See, you've tried, it didn't work. What are you wasting your time trying for? Just give up already. Now, you know, that's the devil's role. That will steal your dreams, you know, steal your joy, kill your dreams, destroy your life even. But you got to try again. If at first it doesn't work, you know, try again. Noah, we don't know how many times he tried before he got it right. 120 years. You know, but eventually figured it out. It was a very complex thing he had to build. It took him a long, long time. And, you know, but he had to deal with mockery and everything. But he eventually got it done. Well, what is it that you are dealing with too? You got to press forward. There may be failure at first. But it's only failure if you quit. That's what I tell people. When I coach, try to coach people through situations, I say, well, it's only failure when you give up. If you quit, then you failed. You know? I mean, if you quit before you accomplish the thing that is, then you failed. But as long as you keep trying, you haven't failed yet. You just haven't got there. You know? And if you don't make any attempt, then you've already missed the shot. I've given the illustration. The ball is in your hand. The shot clock is winding down. If you don't take that shot, put up that ball. Because you're thinking, well, I don't know if I can make the shot. Well, so one mind says, well, if you do not make the shot, you will be the villain. And they will crucify you. Because the game is on the line. Well, but what if you make the shot? And you sink it, nothing but the net. The bottom of the net. Then you become a hero. Well, is that a chance you're willing to take? You can be a hero, you can be a villain, or the villain. Well, but I tell you what, if you don't put up that shot, you already missed the shot. So every shot that you don't attempt is a shot you've already missed. That's it. Because you didn't even try. Because you gave up too soon. You know, and some of the greatest guys are people that, you know, fell flat on their faces, but they got up. They tried again and tried again. And they perfected the thing they kept trying until they perfected the thing. So you got to keep trying. There's something new that you need to accomplish. Not the old stuff. The old stuff you already got. But you got to build on the new. You got to build on the old and build something on new. You know, Peter said that. He said, well, you already got faith. We know that. So that's good. Praise the Lord for that. He said, but you got to do and get more. You start out with faith, but you don't stop there. He said, look, you got to add to your faith. Now, that's new. You know, what are you going to add to your faith? Well, he called out a lot of things, you know, that you can add to your faith. You can read that in 2 Peter chapter 1. You know, you can add diligence. You know, you can add virtue. You can add knowledge. You can add temperance. You can add patience, godliness, all these things. You can add those things. Those are new things. Those are new frontiers that you can gain from the Lord. Praise the Lord. So that's the lesson. And that's where I want to leave it today, because I want us to engage. There are more things I could say, but this is a prayer that I want us to pray. We prayed some of it yesterday, but it's a daily thing. You know, you cannot rest on yesterday's accomplishment. That's old. Today is a new day. So I need to experience something new from the Lord. Because, you know, God's always creating stuff in the sea. God's always creating stuff everywhere. Why can't I experience new mercies? Okay, mercies are new every day. Well, I want something new. I need to experience God like I never experienced before. I need God to show me something that I've never seen before. I need him taken to heights that I could not attain on my own. I need him to show me something that I cannot see on my own. That's right. Praise God. Now, God can drop revelation, insight, inspiration into your heart for new things that you've never known. But you must be seeking him. Matthew 5 and 6. You know, blessed are those, Jesus said, that are hungering and thirsting after righteousness. What's going to happen to them? Well, they shall be filled. Glory to God. You know, you ask. Jesus told the woman at the well, say, if you knew who was talking to you, would ask of him and he would give you the living water. You got to ask though. Say, wow. Yeah. If you ask, he will give you. If you don't ask, you might not get it. You know, so ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. New things. Ask for something new. Show me, Lord, something new. Moses said, I want to see your glory. He had seen a lot of glory, but he wanted something new. You know, Enoch wanted something new. And they experienced Elijah. You know, these people walk with God, but they experience something new. After 300 years of walking with God and God showing him mighty things, like prophesying that Christ would come with 10,000 of his saints, one day he experienced something new. It was translated. And, you know, you should not see death. Elijah experienced something new. He'd been experiencing bodily transportation here and there and so forth. But one day, chariots of fire are going to come from him, to take him to heaven. That's something new. Many of these people, you know, believed God and they experienced new things. Glory to God. Let's believe God together that we may experience something new. I'm going to pray over the room and I'm going to leave it there so that we can have, I want to have a spirited discussion and conversation today. And let's talk about it. Let's talk about, you know, ways to experience something new from the Lord. You know, some of us yet to experience new things. You know, maybe you know, even in a prayer life, you can experience something new. You know, You're the kind of person that can only pray for 2 minutes at the most. Anything longer than that, you're distracted. Well, you need to reach out for something new. There's more to it than 2 minute prayer. That's right. And everything that we've gotten from God, perhaps God is blessed your life and you are able to discern some gifts of the Spirit in your life. Well, there's more where that came from. Even the 9 gifts of the Spirit that Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians 12, there's more than that. That's all he talked about, but there's plenty more. You know, God can show you something new all the time. And in your career, in your life, in different things that we're believing God for, let's believe for something new. If we can challenge ourselves to believe God, Jesus said, if thou canst only believe. He put it right back to the man. The man said, well, Lord, if you can, you do anything for me. The Lord said, no, it's not about me if I can. It's about you. Can you believe? You can read that story, Mark 9, 22, 23, and so on. Well, finally, the man said, well, Lord, I believe. Help me, you know. So can you believe God for new things? Can you? I mean, can you step out by faith and experience something, expect to experience something new from the Lord, something you never experienced before? Believe God for, you know, higher heights, you know, bigger horizons and greater things from God. Can you believe God for that? Can you see more to get more from God? Can you visualize more? It's according to the power. It's according to what you can see. What you can see is what you will get. There was really nothing there. Abraham was just looking. There really wasn't there. It was just plain, you know, but the Lord said, well, if you can see it, I'm going to give it to you. Well, so you got to see it. Visualize it by faith and step out by faith. Believe God for something new and he will do it for you. He's capable. He's got plenty to go around for everybody. Father, I love you. I thank you. We love you. We thank you. You have spoken and shared this with us. I encourage us, to excite us, to inspire us, to believe for greater things, to believe for new things. How many of you, the Lord said, saw this house in his former glory? How is it in your eyes as it is now? Does it not look like it lies in waste and it is in ruins? Well, behold, said the Lord, I will raise the ruins of the tabernacles of praise, the tabernacles of David. In those days will I do it, said the Lord. Now, we are in those days. I pray, Lord, that what is laid waste and ruined in our lives, you know, sometimes some of us have dropped from our spiritual, you know, heights and awakened, you know, spirit. You know, spirit was awakened at one time. We've allowed that spirit to go to sleep. Awake to righteousness. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. I pray, Lord, that you waken us up, you quicken us again to experience new things, and help us, Lord, to decipher old things, old bottles that we must throw away, that we can receive these new things into fresh, clean bottles, not mingled up with any leaven. Purge out, therefore, the old leaven, for you are a new lump, the Bible says. I pray, Lord, for understanding in every heart. Thank you, Lord, for this lesson. And as we share, thank you for these shares. We give you, Lord, the praise and give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.